This is your weekly rundown 62. Let's get it. All right, welcome back, y'all. This is our new rundown, episode 62. This is going to be the start of our spring season. And just to let y'all know, we got Kaiju number 8 in the spring season. Go-Go Loser Ranger won the Listener's Choice poll. Spice and Wolf Remake is also going to be on the spring season. And then One Piece, as always. And before we get started, the best way to support us is to rate the podcast. Tell all your buddies about it, even the ones that don't like anime. Steal your mama's phone. I don't know. Just rate the podcast on everything you can get a hold of. Helps us out a lot. Also, if you got any topics or questions about any of the latest episodes of the rundown shows that we're covering, let us know in the Discord or our socials, linktree.com/AnimeDegens. And yeah, on this episode, we're going to be covering Go-Go Loser Ranger episode 1, Spice and Wolf Remake episode 1, and One Piece episode 1100. Kaiju number 8 is going to be on our next episode because it don't release for like, I think, 4 more days, right?
Yeah, it releases this weekend.
Yeah. So, speaking of all that, like, Dan, how you doing? This is the first time I'm back in a week or whatever. Bass is still out. I think he's going to be back in a few days. So,
yeah, I'm good, man. You know, very, very fun day for me. I had Japanese customers coming to work today. So I got, I was picking words out here and there that I recognized from all my anime I watch, which was always funny. We gave them like a 3D printed robot. And oh, yeah. I just heard kawaii like 6 times and I'm cracking up. And sugoi. And I'm like, oh my God, I actually know what some of this means. And then they would start talking and I was like, I am lost. I have no idea what's going on. Thankfully, we had some translators though. So that always helps.
Yeah, it amazes me how fast they can actually talk, you know.
But it's
even,
so
even if you know some of the words, like it just goes out of your head because it's just so fast, you know.
It was so funny. They would like rattle off like what sounded like a 30-second sentence, and then the translator would say like 10 words.
Yeah,
I was like, damn.
That's the crazy thing about like the Japanese language I've learned is that they say so much to just mean so little. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and like that just like after the meeting, I'm just sitting there thinking, I'm like, this makes dubbing anime even more impressive to me. Because yeah, they have to meet the mouth movements, the flaps.
Yeah.
And they have to figure out enough English words to get it to make sense. And it's just impressive.
Yeah, it's definitely wild. Just like the number 99, you know, it takes us like literally a second to say it. But for them, it's just like, it's literally like four or five words to get to 99 in the Japanese Nuts. Language. So. But
nuts. Well, cool. You want to get into some anime?
Yeah, let's do this. Let's get into Japanese cartoons.
All right, we're gonna start with Go-Go Loser Ranger episode 1. We are Justice the Dragon Keepers. And a quick summary is, tired of the Sunday showdown charade, Fighter D decides to defeat the Rangers for real this time. And we got to see a little bit of this Sunday showdown. It is quite the spectacle, guys. Like, if you haven't watched this yet, I'm iffy on it. I'm not sure how I feel about it yet, but the Sunday showdown was pretty fun.
Yeah, I don't think we actually got to see a whole lot. I think this was just like an info dump kind of deal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, like the episode starts off and we learn like the backstory of how this all went down. And it literally starts off with a floating fortress appearing in the sky. And the narrator says this marks the beginning of the never-ending war of monsters and humans. And from there, we learn this shit has been going on for 13 years. Like, how do people still think this is real, man? It's the same shit with a different monster every single Sunday. Like, it is just, it's Power Rangers. Like, it's literally an episode of Power Rangers, the exact same plot every single time, and a new monster.
See, the funny thing is I went on like a roller coaster this this episode. So at the beginning, like, I was like, okay, this shit is so staged, like, it's not even funny. And then in the middle of the episode, they started, like, they had the little meeting or whatever with the dusters or whatever. And I was like, wait, this is actually legit? And then as the meeting kept on going, I was like, oh, so this was legit, but now it's staged. Okay, it's starting to make sense. Like, it was kind of confusing, not going to lie, there for a minute, because I was kind of like, going in between, like, wait, what am I supposed to believe here? What am I supposed to think? So,
well, you know, as a viewer of the Sunday Showdown, it's very real to you, you know?
But how? How can... that's my big question, is how can the audience believe that this is real? And how does, like, why do they want to make this thing happen every Sunday? That's what I want to know.
This comment might piss some people off, but it's the WWE, man. It's a show. You know, they're just putting it on. All the punches are not fake in this. They're really blowing these fucking guys, the dusters, up, but magically they just turn to dust and come back to their monster forms. But let's get back to the episode, I guess. So it starts off, we get an introduction to the Divine Dragon Rangers, aka the Dragon Keepers. There's a blue one, a green one, a pink one, a yellow one, and a red one. This is sounding very reminiscent of Power Rangers right here. Like, you know, it's a total ripoff. Except we don't have the super sexy Yellow Ranger from when I was a child. So that's sad.
Yeah, but the Pink Ranger is a girl, though, right?
She is.
So.
But, dude, that yellow, when I was like, I don't know, 8, that Yellow Ranger, she was fine, dude. They knew what they were doing.
I was always a Pink fan, so I don't know.
Me and the Pink Ranger have the same birthday, dude, so I got that going for me.
I still don't know it.
Well, now you know how to Google when my birthday is.
There you go.
But yeah, we did talk a little bit about the spectacle that this Sunday Showdown is. Like, there's an announcer like talking about it and everything else, and he's like, I wonder what the monsters are gonna do. Maybe they'll bring their super secret top weapon and all this other stuff. And it's just so bizarre. Like,
oh, they brought it this time. I was dying laughing, bro.
Dude, should we just talk about that now? Because
might as well, because
like, I don't know how to go through the plot of this, because we do half the episode and then we get a 1 hour earlier and we go back in time. So I don't know the right way to talk about this, but during this fight, the super secret secret weapon they bring down is the funniest fucking looking tiger monster you will ever see in your life. Like, its eyes aren't even straight. Like, the thing has like squirrely eyes, and you know, it's pretty powerful. It's given the Dragon Keepers a run for their money. And then all of a sudden, it turns into a little Japanese truck and runs them over. And I literally had to pause this and go, what the fuck just happened?
Well, the whole time I was watching this shit, like the tiger or whatever, I was like, why the hell does he have tires on his back for like wings or some shit, right?
Yeah, and like exhaust pipes and everything else. I was like, what is going on with this design, man? Like
I know like in the flashback that they showed us that they actually had to look up what tigers look like in the animal encyclopedia or whatever. But I don't know how they got this from that. So
it must have been a magazine with like an ad for a Kai truck right next to it.
I guess maybe the tiger was by the truck and they just thought it was all one thing.
I don't know, dude. Bizarre. Absolutely bizarre. But so we get the flashback. We learn that the monsters, or the dusters, the foot soldiers, whatever we want to call them, they're called dusters.
The plebs.
So they came to Earth 13 years ago and they were defeated in less than a year. And all the big bosses of their organization were defeated. And they made an agreement with the Dragon Keepers to basically put on this Sunday showdown spectacle for them to stay alive. And they've been doing this shit for 13 years. And they're starting to run out of ideas for what to make the big boss of each Sunday showdown. And at this point, none of them give a fuck. It's like an hour before they've had all week to prepare. And they're like, I don't know, let's do this big monster. And one of the, I think it was Fighter F, is like, nah, that's cliche. And Fighter F, I think it was L, right?
I'm not sure.
I think it was
They're
Fighter
all
L.
indisposable, so apparently.
No, Fighter L was a lady.
Oh,
And
okay.
just, she draws this super cute little cat thing. And they're like, that's adorable. The kids aren't supposed to like it. They're supposed to be afraid. And she starts to draw like a lion mane on it. And they're like, no, we've already done a lion. We can't do that again. We did one 7 years ago. And I'm sitting there like, who the fuck's gonna remember what you did 7 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, you know, there's bigger questions to figure out now. Like, you know, they put all this information on us, and I'm left with questions. Like, one of the biggest ones is like, what do you think the reason is that they're making them put this show on every Sunday? Like, is it trying to scare them, or money, or like what? Like, what do you think?
I mean, money is definitely a big part of it. If you notice throughout the episode, like there's advertisements with their faces all over them. One of them is the green one slinging protein powder, the pink one is slinging makeup. Like they're getting paid pretty good money to do this from endorsements and things like that. And I think it's just how they keep themselves relevant, you know?
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't sure. I'm thinking maybe like it's some kind of tactic to keep people like maybe under control, maybe, you know? I don't know why I don't know what's going on in this world to have that reason, but I think it's something like that, honestly.
I don't know if I'm looking that deep into this one, man. I think they just want the fame and the glory.
I think this show is gonna be kind of deep though. I think they're trying to lay it out like that because they're doing the whole I don't know, looking behind the scenes shit, you know? So it feels like that they could get deep in this, even though we haven't seen it really yet, so.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what level of corruption we're actually dealing with the fake Power Rangers here.
Yeah.
And one thing I do want to bring up from when they were doing the scene with the Dusters trying to think of what to do. They first introduce us to Fighter D in his monster form. And they break the fourth wall in episode one. Like they put this giant logo that says Fighter D up next to his face. And you see him just go, hey, get that out of the way. And he pushes it out of the way.
I love
That made me so happy. Like right there alone, I was like, all right, I love anytime we break the fourth wall, we're already in.
Yeah. So I'm not sure how to feel about this. I don't know if it's gonna be like a comedy or like if it's gonna be a dark show. It's up in the air right now, right?
Yeah, I have no idea where we're going with this one. I mean, I've heard
Yeah.
it's dark, so.
But I mean, it has like those comedic elements, like the fourth wall breaking and shit like that. So like, I don't know. Like, usually dark shows don't have that in it. So it's, I don't know. It's gonna be fun, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And we also learned that this is actually supposed to be Fighter D's day off. And towards the end of the episode, we see him actually in the fight, and he gets defeated by the, I keep wanting to call them Power Rangers, the Dragon Keepers.
The key bros.
And we see his dust reform into a human shape, who we're actually introduced to at the beginning of the show when he met members of the Ranger Force. And it turns out that he can shape shift into a human, and he's been ditching work essentially to go ex like get intel on Earth, which is pretty interesting.
Yeah, so did you know that? So we met this black haired dude, right? Obviously we know him as Fighter D now. Earlier, did you know that that dude was actually Fighter D?
If I hadn't watched the trailer, no, I wouldn't have.
Really? So I had a sneaking suspicion that it was, but maybe it was just a voice actor. I was like, because it's so like their voice is so, I guess, unique or something. Like it's very easy to tell them apart or whatever. And I was like, wait, is this the same personality slash voice that I heard with that one character? Like, what's he doing out here, you know? So.
So, was his voice familiar to you?
So I don't know if it was familiar, but it kind of sounds like a Bakugo kind of deal.
Not Bakugo. He's actually, so the voice actor is Yusuke Kobayashi. He's the voice of Subaru.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. And like I kind of picked up on it. I was like, it's a little raspier, but I kind of recognize it.
Yeah, I mean, I could probably recognize it too if I had on comparison or whatever. But off the top of my head, like they don't really sound similar because, like you said, his voice in this show is like kind of grittier, I guess, or something like that. So,
Yeah, and it's also the voice actor for Senku from Dr. Stone, but I did not recognize that one. Like, I was curious when I
no.
like heard him, and I was like, "Who does that sound like?" You know, it's just because it sounded familiar. And I looked it up, I was like, "Oh, that makes kind of makes sense."
But it is cool to know that when I first seen him come on the screen or whatever, I was like, so is this our guy? Is this the guy that like he just his voice like just it seemed like he was their guy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
And after he gets blasted away with the Divine Dragon Breath, team weapon, a classic Power Rangers cliche, he basically reforms on the roof of this building next to the arena in his human form. And one of the members of the Ranger Force, or Dragon, not Dragon Force, the Ranger, Drag, was it Ranger Force?
Dragon keepers,
But it wasn't
the
one of the main members.
divine dragon keeper shit or something like that.
Yeah, it wasn't one of the main members. It was the blonde chick.
Is so they got like the main people, and then I guess they got the like it kind of reminded me like the freaking army, you know, kind of like they got the recruiters and shit going around, and so you got like I don't know, the special people, like the five, the A team or whatever, and then you got all the little other people that I guess promote and recruit, I would assume maybe, and like protect the audience members is what it seems like they was doing, a couple of them, so.
Yeah, and her name was Suzukiri. She meets Fighter D when he's in his human form on this roof and asks him again if he wants to join the Dragon Rangers, Keepers, whatever the fuck they are. And he's in. He's in, but he has some ulterior motives, and I'm really excited to see where this goes.
Yeah, like I said, it's definitely intriguing for me. I want to see what this is gonna do. I definitely enjoyed this first episode, even though it was kind of confusing and it was just an info dump, but it's hooked me enough to like want to know more, you know.
Definitely.
And plus
But before,
the music was pretty decent and the ED was banging too, so.
yeah. And I do want to touch on the animation before we move on. What'd you think of it?
So like I thought like some of it was like really good, like when they shapeshift or what is it, reconstruct or whatever I think it's called.
Yeah.
When they do that, like it's a pretty cool and unique like animation that they got going on there. And like for the most part, like the animation was really good, but I did notice like some parts seemed like it was weirdly animated. And I know you said something about it too, so I knew I wasn't off too far when I said it at that point, so.
Yeah, like the use of CGI was pretty prevalent. At least definitely when they first introduced the Dragon Keepers. Like I noticed it there. And then when people were talking, I almost felt like the words weren't matching the lip flaps. And that kind of threw me for a loop.
Yeah, so I think they did. I don't know why they want to like do close-ups of the mouth when they're talking. Like that seems like a no-no, right?
Yeah, especially if you're not going to like really pay a lot of attention to how you're moving the mouth, you know? So that kind of threw me off, but I don't think it took away from the episode necessarily, but like it's just one of those things that like lingers in the back of your mind, you know?
And the thing is like the sound, like I really thought they'd done a really good job with the sound on this episode, except for like maybe one time. I didn't really care about the tin cans or whatever. I thought that was kind of not 100% correct, maybe. I don't know. It sounded like it was they was just throwing tin cans off a wall or something. I don't know.
Oh, like the soda cans and the beer cans that are hucking at them. Yeah. No,
Yeah.
the sound effect there was kind of weird.
But everything else, like all the music that they was using and like all the sound effects that they had going on when the logos was coming on the screen, you know, all that stuff, it was really good. Except for that one moment when they was throwing the cans at the people in the stadium or at the Munsters, the Dusters or whatever in the stadium. That was the only moment that I was like, wait, that sounds weird. You know, so I don't know. But
Yeah.
overall I really like the show, the first episode anyway, so
Yeah, it was definitely fun. I do have one glaring question though for you. I don't know if you thought about this. So, like, if the Dusters can reconstruct and they're immortal, why are all their bosses dead? Were their bosses like a different type of monster and they could actually die? Because, I mean, these Dusters are getting blown to bits by a massive freaking Fortnite laser gun. Like, they're actually even better. It's the super weapon from Super Smash Bros. Where you build that giant laser.
yeah, so I did think about this, and that was a big question for me as well, because they kept on they brought it up several times, you know, how their bosses died or whatever, but it's crazy because they're literally peons and they have immortality or but I think it's related to their duster ability or whatever, their reconstruct ability. But the thing is like, why isn't their bosses able to do that too? Unless their bosses was just like kind of like we got in the world now, like there's the president, you know, they're usually is they're not strong, you know, it's just the people around them is, you know, keeping them safe, you know what I mean, or
Yeah.
whatever.
No,
So I don't know.
I'm curious if they're going to get into it more, because that is like a glaring question for me. And I feel like if they don't explain it, I might get a little annoyed.
I feel like they will, but I feel like they'll do it in the form of flashbacks or something
Yeah.
like that. So is the vibe I'm getting with this. They're going to use flashbacks, I think. So,
Yeah, it makes sense. But cool. You got anything else for our Dragon Keeper friends?
no, I guess this is a pretty good pick that the listener chose for us. So I mean, it won by quite a bit. I think like double digit win. So. Everybody wanted us to talk about it, so
Perfect. Well, you want to get us going with Spice and Wolf?
yeah, let's do.
Is it? I know. I is the actual title. It's Spice and Wolf, the Merchant and the Wise Wolf.
I think it's the traveling merchant and the wise wolf, maybe,
Okay.
or the
All
wandering
right.
merchant. The wandering
Wandering Merchant.
merchant,
All
yeah.
right. Bet.
But it is the Spice and Wolf remake. That's what it's known as. That's not the official title. But episode one, the Harvest Festival and the Crowded Driver's Box. We ride along with Lawrence as he's traveling to a small village that's holding a festival for their wheat harvest this year. And so, like, I guess the first thing that we probably should. Did you like the OP and like the ED? Did you think they like fit for this show or what?
Yeah, I mean, they're not anything that I would write home about. Like, I like openings that make me want to run through brick walls.
Yeah,
And
no, this ain't it.
this is real chill, you know? But I think it fits the vibe of the show really well.
Yeah, it's definitely not gonna be like, I don't think it's gonna be my favorites, one of my favorites of the season, but it does fit. ED about the same thing. It's okay, you know. It's not like Loser Ranger. Loser Ranger was fun, a fun ED. So,
Yeah,
but
I mean, it's a little bit of a bop, you know?
yeah, and so you want to talk about the animation now, or you want to wait till after?
Let's talk about it after.
Okay. So, I know you said you've watched this before. Do you have like any like vague memories of it or
No,
no?
it was like 2009. It was
Okay.
about 15 years ago, so not very at the forefront of my memory, and I forgot how much wolf side boob we actually got in this first episode.
You know, I don't think it was that, like, so it wasn't like that focused on, like, it was there, but it wasn't as focused on as this, you know.
Bro, I'm literally sitting there watching this, and I'm like, I've just watched 15 minutes of wolf side boob action, and it's I kind of don't know what they're talking about right now.
No, you know, I've watched like, I guess probably 3/4 of the old season, like in the last couple years. So, but there is some differences, in this anime and, this remake and the old one, apparently. So this one, we actually start off with like a little prologue section, like an intro about a woman telling a story to a little girl. And do you have any idea, like, any thoughts about who they might be? Because this is different. This is new. So
I'm not sure. You know, I'm assuming this is well far in the future because she's telling stories.
Yeah.
And maybe they're connected to Lawrence somehow. Like, maybe it's Lawrence's family. But I mean, it can't be Hollow. I mean, Hollow is like a 500 years old and she still looks like she's 20. So.
Yeah, so I think, you know, I may be wrong, but I think that if you notice the little girl, she actually has like white/gray hair or whatever. And they actually showed like glimpses of the woman that was talking to her, and it looked like Hollow. But I didn't see a tail anywhere. I don't know. Maybe the tail disappeared after she lived her human life. I don't know. I definitely think it's in the future. And I definitely think it's some kin to Lawrence. And I kind of think it's Hollow too, but I just don't know. So that, I think they want us to think that it's them, but they also want us to not know for sure. So
yeah, they could just be leading us on too, which would be hilarious.
Yeah. And the second thing is in the first one, we actually had a anime original character, and that is Chloe. She was the one who got the last, the weed or whatever, and got locked up in the barn or whatever. And she was like she served as like a romantic interest, / rival for Hollow for the first episode or two or whatever. And this time we actually get the actual character that was in the original stories, it's Yaray. And he's the one that gets trapped in the barn and all that stuff. He's like his old buddy or whatever. So, like I said, I don't know if you remember that or not, but
no, not at all.
When I started watching this, I was like, wait, didn't, when I watched this before, wasn't this a chick that was locked in the barn?
Yeah.
I looked and it actually was. So,
yeah, from what I understand, this is going to be a more faithful adaptation, which is good. I always love when, you know, I mean, 2008, that's when Full Metal Alchemist, the original, came out. They took a lot of liberties, and it's nice to see these remakes actually be faithful to the source material.
Yeah. Who needs a one episode love rival, right?
No, I need a guy who gets drunk.
Yeah. And has a party, and, you know, so. I like it. I like it a lot. So then we actually meet, you know, we meet Lawrence, the traveling merchant, the wandering merchant or whatever he's called. And do you have like any first impressions of him? Like anything do you want to say?
I mean, from like, I'm trying not to remember back to the original here. Like I'm trying to like look at those for fresh eyes. And I mean, Lawrence is just a dude, man. Like we don't really get a lot of personality out of him, I feel like.
I feel like he's not the average dude though, because like the average dude, if they seen like a naked woman talking to them, they would probably be like very embarrassed and awkward. And he was not. So well, looks like he knows what he's doing. You know what I mean?
The minute you notice the ears in the tail and they're saying they're a wolf. And you've heard stories about a god of the harvest who is a wolf with the same name. You know, I'd be kind of I guess more like curious than like concerned about her lack of clothing, if that makes sense. Like, I don't want to know what the fuck is going on.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I would too, but I mean, I would, you know, I don't know what I would do in that situation. I would be very confused. So hopefully I never had that situation. So
I don't think you're going to meet a wolf human who's sleeping in the back of your cart in a pile of fox pelts naked.
Yeah, I really hope not, because I'm not getting in a cart. So,
I mean, I kind of hope I do, but that's a different story.
Yeah. But yeah, like one of the things that I found it interesting, like we actually get to learn about like their festival and like the Hollow, the wolf god, and like all that stuff, how they're like, how it all started, and you know, do you actually enjoy it when anime like shows this kind of this side of things?
Yeah, I do. Normally, I enjoy it more when it's actually pulling from like folklore. Exactly. Like if it's pulling like from, I mean, like a lot of anime will pull from Japanese folklore, Chinese folklore, and I love that because you're learning about like another culture's history and stuff like that. But I don't think Japan has stories about a wolf who lives in wheat.
Well, they brought up the fact that it was a pagan village, right? Was they talking about that village being doing the pagan festival or whatever?
Yeah, so there is a church that has a real god, quote unquote.
Yeah.
And they don't like that this village is worshiping the god of the harvest, essentially.
Yeah. So it's definitely interesting when they do this stuff. You know, they brought in like the person who cuts the last bit of wheat gets captured and locked in the barn for a week. Who would have known that was actually true? You know, that they was locking Hollow in the last bit of wheat with them or whatever. So it's pretty interesting to see all that. We also get to see them talk about how the era of praying the old gods are over, and about how like the churches are against that or whatever, like Dan just said. And do you think that's kind of the reason why Hollow wants to get out of there, go back home?
Yeah, I mean, well, she mentions it, you know, it's as, you know, generations and generations go by, they're starting to forget. Like, it's just, it's a folktale at that point to them. And, you know, they have been taught new farming by the Lord of the Land. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but
it's probably not important.
I think it is important, but we'll worry about that later.
Yeah.
And she's realizing that with these new farming techniques, they don't need her anymore, which is why she wants to leave and she wants to go home to the north.
Yeah. Okay. And speaking of the Wise Wolf, we actually get to meet her in the human form, like Dan has said. And, you know, I'm sure we got some first impressions of her besides her, you know, like side boob or whatever.
she's no busty bookstore clerk, but no, side boob aside, Hollow, I love her character. Yeah, she's kind of sassy, and the fact that she just like takes his beef jerky and then she's like, "Do you have any alcohol?" Like, I respect the fuck out of that.
Yeah, she just like takes like, so usually like when you think of a god, you know, you think like they're gonna be like I don't know, not like her, you know what I mean? They're gonna be like preppy, like they're gonna have the nose up in the air, you know what I mean? But she's actually like fun. She's actually willing to like do her part or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, we see a lot of different types of gods through anime, and they have a wide spectrum. I mean, I don't know if she's as fun and as preppy as Aqua, but
but the real question is, did you think that they showed like did she come across as wise?
No. Not yet.
Because, you know, you think that if you're going to name her the, you know, the wise wolf god Hollow or whatever, you know, that you would think that they would make that known from the beginning, maybe. So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't really seen her in action yet. You know, we've just seen her hide in wheat and turn into a giant demonic wolf being that we didn't actually get to see.
Yeah, I was going to say, we didn't actually see that.
But Lord sure did, and he was fucking terrified, and I can't blame him.
I was really sure that we actually saw a glimpse of it in, like, the old version.
Okay.
But I can't confirm that. But I want to ask, like, was Studio Passion cooking or nah with this shit, bro?
Oh, they were big cooking, dude. Like, besides the side boob. Besides the side boob. Like, the way they animated her eyes, like, how bright they were and, like, glaring. Like, I loved that. And I'm excited to see, to let Studio Passionate cook, because I think they're going to do a really good job with this series.
Yeah, I really like the colors that they use. They're using, like, a lot of different colors, and, like, it feels, like, soft and glowing or something like that. So it's pretty fun. I like it.
Yeah, man. That side boob looked great in the moonlight.
Exactly. And, you know, speaking of all that, she says she's from a place in the north called Yaotsu, I believe it is, something like that. Yoitsu. And she wants Lawrence to take her back home. And so, like, did you, like, going back to, like, the whole, like, transformation thing, we just kind of briefly hit on it. Do you think Lawrence was, like, if you was Lawrence, would you want her to show you more proof that she's actually hollow? Or do you think that the tell ears and the teeth would have been enough for you?
I think it would have been enough for me. I don't need to see a wolf demon.
Yeah, same. I don't know what I don't know what Lawrence was thinking, but he clearly wasn't thinking very good. So,
I mean, I'd be in disbelief, and I feel like he was too. So I can't really blame him, but I don't know if I'm ready to see her turn into an actual wolf, you know, in that situation.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if you're going to travel with her, I guess, you know, it's best to see her at her worst. That way you're prepared in the future, right? I don't know.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Well, we keep on seeing mentions of the church early on. Lawrence threatened to turn hollow and Yara says that you can't go against the church in this era. So do you think that they're going to be antagonists at some point? Because I really do think that they are.
Yeah, I definitely think they are. I mean, we got introduced to the concept that they don't like pagan gods and all this other stuff. Like, it's got to be some conflict revolving around this church later in the show.
Yeah, because, like I said, they literally mention it, like, a handful of times. The church is brought up as negative, from a negative viewpoint. So you think that they got to be, which is going to be sad when we actually get to that part, if we do get to that part. I can't remember. So.
Definitely. But
the reason she was able to actually get in the cart is that he actually had a bigger bundle of wheat than the last bundle that was cut from the field. And that was fun to bring up too, how she, not many shows do it, explain how things happen, but this show seems like it's doing a really good job at explaining why things was done and why things happened. So I really enjoy that.
Yeah, definitely. And they did a really good job explaining, too, why Hollow wants to leave. When Lawrence was having dinner with Yare, you know, he was like, oh, should an outsider really be eating the offering to, like, the god? Yeah. And you just hear Yare rambling on about how it's all a folktale and none of it's real. And I just thought it was funny because Lawrence literally just saw Hollow 5 minutes ago. But he kept his mouth shut, you know? He didn't want to tell him that, like, oh, shit, no, dog, you're wrong. She is real, and she's pissed.
I mean, not gonna lie, if I was in the same situation, I'd be like, bro, you don't know what the hell you're talking about right now.
Exactly, yeah, I would do the same thing, man.
But, yeah, so I guess that begins, unless you got anything else, like, I guess that begins our journey with Lawrence and Hollow, you know? I guess we talked about the animation. I really like the animation, how, you know, how I guess good, soft and glowing it looks. It definitely, I feel like it looks better than the first one. But the first one wasn't bad though. Like the first one was good too, but this one just looks so much better. So.
Well, yeah, it's just done 16 years later, I think. I think it was 2008 when the original came out. So
makes sense, you know?
Yeah, it makes sense. I did like the very last scene we got where Lawrence tells Hollow it's safe to come out now. They're far enough away from the village. And she's just rocking all his like finest clothes. And he's all pissed about it. And he's like, fuck it, just get up here. And then she's complaining the whole time that the bench on the car is too small and like pushing into him and stuff. So, you know, definitely don't know this, quote unquote, but we're going to get a little love, a little romance between these two down the line, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like a lot of people already know kind of what's coming, you know what I mean? Or what's in the books, what they're going to have cooking up. So, which I don't know exactly what happens in the end or whatever, but when I first started watching like the OG version, like I knew that this was a love story, right? So
hey, we're talking economics here, buddy.
We're talking love
economics.
Bass is gonna love this show probably. So
well, awesome. You want to get into One Piece?
Yeah, let's go on to Peak Piece, bro.
Well, it just feels like a few months ago we were talking about episode 1000 of One Piece. Actually, I don't know. Were we doing the podcast then?
No, I think we started around 1100. We've been doing this for 60. Let me cook here. We've been doing this for 62 episodes at least. So
it was like right around 1050 when.
Probably.
And it was.
Flashback.
Yeah.
I mean, not flashbacks, but recaps, breaks. So I think around 1050, bro.
We were somewhere on Roof Piece. I know that.
Yeah, it was definitely like 1050. 1040s, 1050s. So.
But we're on 1100 now, and it feels like this show's flying by because it's been so freaking hype. The episode is called Powers on a Different Level, and we're getting a rematch. Luffy versus Lucci. And you know, after a lot of world building and lore and Egghead, we're finally starting to heat up with some good fights. This has, like, in my opinion, this is probably one of the best episodes we've had of One Piece since the end of Wano. And we're so fucking back, baby. This was gas. I watched this episode 3 times.
You know, it's a shame that I just watched it today and I didn't have time to watch it more than once because it was good. So
it was so good. And to start the episode off, we have our good friend, the Admiral of the Navy, looking over. It's not Adam Sandler in the office. It's Akai Inu, dude. It's a couple Marines telling Akai Inu that Luffy is on Egghead and CP0 is there and Kizaru is on the way. Holy shit, we're getting an Admiral on Egghead?
Yeah.
Fuck yes, dude. And the episode starts off after that. We go back to Egghead, and there's an order that Lucci must wait until Kizaru has arrived and not fight Straw Hat no matter what. But we know for a fact Luffy is about to punch the shit out of Lucci for beating up Atlas. And we get some serious fucking boxing this episode.
Yeah, Lucci ain't just going to sit there and take it and stand there and twiddle his thumbs because he's still mad about he's still mad about Water 7, bro.
I would be. I mean, shit. First time he got his ass kicked. And they start fighting, and there's one part of this before we get a certain transformation we've been waiting for. And Luffy gets punched backwards and he lands and we see the gear 2 pose. That callback was so fucking hype.
Yes.
I was so gassed up, dude. Like I was sitting there, I was watching this on my phone and I'm like screaming, fuck yeah, let's go, baby. Like I'm so hyped for this.
Bro, as soon as he hit the gear 2 pose, you know, me personally, I thought he was going to hit gear 2. Again, like he was gonna like power up into gear 2, But then, you know, even after he didn't, like, I still had chills, bro. Like, I had chills multiple times during this freaking episode. Just because, and it made me want to go back and watch Water 7 again.
Dude,
That's how bad this was.
I want to go back and watch this fight again. Yes. And so after this, Lucci looks at Luffy and says, "So what's with that on your wanted poster?" And Luffy laughs a little bit and goes, "Oh, that." And we see him start to focus up, and we get like his inner being, I guess. Like we start hearing a heartbeat, and we see the Nika fruit, or as Nami thinks, the Gomu Gomu no Mi. And we start hearing the drums of liberation again. And I'm like fist bumping in the air, like, fuck yes, let's go. More Gear 5. And I love the way they did the transformation this time, because like they actually showed it. And you see Luffy's clothes and his hair and everything else start turning white. And like right before that, you see him like pounding his chest almost. This is just like Conqueror's Haki flying fucking everywhere. It was so hype, dude. I'm gonna watch this again when we're done. I don't even give a shit.
I'm definitely watching this again. And I know Bass is out there. He said he needs to catch up. He ain't gonna know what to think when he hits this episode because this
Oh.
shit was like banging. And one of the things I want to mention here is, you know, even though like me and Dan, we already knew this was coming because we read the manga on this part, but as anime onlys and as manga readers back then, you know, I don't know about y'all, but I was kind of wondering, like, during this time section when this started happening, was if Luffy could just like go straight into Gear 5 at any given time. Like, I was wondering that question, and like, how would he be able to get into Gear 5 like that again without being almost dead, right? And I guess this answers the question because he can just go into Gear 5 whenever he wants if he concentrates hard enough. So my thing is like, was you as surprised as I was to see him do it so easily?
I think when I read the manga, I kind of was, but now, like, I knew that he could. So, like, it didn't, I was more excited to see it than, like, curious if he could go into Gear 5, you know?
Well, so like me and you know, I'm talking about our feelings back then when we read the manga. You know, anime onlys are seeing what we felt back then. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. In that situation, I guess, like, I was sitting there thinking, like, okay, he's unlocked his awakening. He should be able to use it. That's what I thought.
And it I don't know. It kind of, I don't, I was kind of confused at why he went straight to Gear 5 for Lucci. Other than the fact that he's just showing him what he asked, you know, he was like, you know, what's up with your wanted poster? And Luffy was like, I bet. Let me show you real quick. Kind of
Yeah.
deal, you know?
And did you love Lucci's face when he actually saw this? Like, there's Haki flying all over, and you see Lucci a little bit surprised, and you see the other members of CP0, like, what is going on right now? But then you just see the biggest smile hit Lucci's face, and before you know it, his eyes open up, like, terrified. And Luffy is 6 inches from his face, about to deck him, and sends him flying through a building.
That
And oh, I loved it.
moment was so, that moment was like a roller coaster, bro. Like they done it so good. You know, Lucci was scared shitless at that point. Then he was happy. He was like, oh shit, I'm gonna get to fight something like this. You know, I'm gonna actually get to test out my powers again or whatever. And then he's just like, oh shit, I'm about to die, bro.
And I love after Luffy punched Lucci, he literally fell backwards. He's just bouncing around like an idiot, trying to gain his footing again. And he's just bouncing on the ground because Gear 5 affects the environment around it. And from there, we see Lucci in the rubble of this building, and we just see him throw this massive boulder off him. And we hear like the words. This isn't quote for quote, but he's like, "You're not the only one who's got stronger." And we get a gnarly transformation scene here with Lucci. Like, you see his like face contorting into a cat. His claws come out, and they show it in the cloud of smoke from the rubble. And when the music started, I was like, oh, fucking yeah. Shit.
Bro.
It was so good with the music, dude. Like, the way they did it, like, that theme was scary.
Yeah, I will say, like, they was cooking with these transformation scenes. Like, they literally made... So they made, you know, Luffy look crazy again or whatever, but they made Lucci look like a demon. Like, the, you know, from the time he pushed the rubble off of him, like the huge rubble pile or whatever, the way he was walking and transforming and shit, like the way they cut it or whatever, like that was some of the best, like it made him look like a badass. I ain't even gonna cap.
Yeah.
He's just so good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, his awakened form, he's awakened, by the way, if you guys didn't catch that. His awakened, I mean, it said it at the top, was sick. Like, he's got, like, Luffy has the white clouds around his neck. He has black clouds. Like, his, like, hair is, like, literally, like, purple fire. Like, it is such a hard look.
Yeah. So, I guess my man Lucci, he's a certified badass now because he's looking like a damn menace right now. So.
Oh, and especially, like, we've seen awakened Zoans before back in Impel Down. And Vegapunk even mentions this, or Shaka, well, Vegapunk, but Shaka mentions this, that usually when Zoans awaken, they lose their self, they lose their personality, they lose that, and the animal of the fruit takes over. So the fact that Lucci is able to control his awakened Zoan form is even more impressive. And the guy's a demon, dude.
Yeah. And this is, during all this time, we actually... this is actually the first time that everyone but Nami, I think, gets to see Luffy in this new state. No one else kind of really knew about it. They just seen like the wanted posters and whatever, you know. So I thought it was really fun to have that commentary on the side, you know, especially like Vegapunk coming in and stuff like that. So
yeah, I mean, Vegapunk is like, he is beautiful, which I was like, damn, Vegapunk, what you mean? What you mean, girl? And he mentions that during this, you know, he's like, what is this transformation? And Nami says it's an ability of the Gomu Gomu no Mi, the gum gum fruit. And Vegapunk just looks at her like, there is no gum gum fruit in the old Devil Fruit Encyclopedia.
Yeah.
And that he resembles a god, the sun god Nika. And we just see Sanji in the background going, Luffy is an idiot. Baka. Like, call him an idiot. Like, Luffy's not a god. And you see Robin, and she looks terrified. Like, absolutely terrified. I'm sure Robin knows the story of the sun god Nika. I mean, she's an archaeologist.
You know, it's funny that Sanji said that. I was like, this is why you're number two, bro.
Number four.
Whatever.
Number
this
four.
This is why you're not number one. I mean... so obviously Luffy's number one. I was meaning like Zoro is one, you know, whatever. But this this is why you're not right hand man, because you think your captain is an idiot and not a god.
And during this too, like, we do get a scene with Jinbei, and he says this is the warrior of liberation, because I mean the fishmen know the story of Nika. Like, that is a long time legend of the fishmen, and it's awesome to see him actually understand what's going on right there.
Yeah, like they're doing such a great job at showing all the information as this is happening real time. Like, even while Vegapunk is telling them all this information or whatever, and they're having these reactions, we still have the fight going on in the background. We can actually see it. So they've done a really good job of this episode.
Yeah, no, this fight was so clean. Like, the animation was unreal. Like, just watching Lucci run around at that speed, like, they're bashing into buildings, Luffy's Looney Tunes running on the side of him, like
his eyes just going everywhere trying to keep up, popping out of his head, you know. Dude,
when Lucci was trying to punch him and he's grabbing his head and pulling it out of the way and dodging all the attacks, I was cracking up. I was like, oh my god, what is going on right now, guys?
Yeah, and you know, we have to bring up this scene, bro. We have to. The you know, to kiss my ass.
Oh, of course.
We have to. This shit was peak, bro. This is peak. I literally got it in notes. This is my peak. This is our peak. This is the peak.
I was cracking up. I saw on Twitter somebody was like, every legend has a cheap imitation, and had the scene of Naruto slapping his ass and Luffy doing it. And all I could think of, I'm like, bro, Krillin did this first. Krillin patted his ass at, I think it was at Frieza. Like,
but the crazy thing is I did not expect this at all. Like I don't know if there's ever been a scene like this in this anime, in One Piece.
No,
when Luffy says, kiss my ass.
Yeah, no, not like that. But I mean, he's a fool at this point. Like, yeah. The sun god Nika is a fool who's supposed to make people smile. And every single One Piece fan watching this was smiling during that scene.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, it was like my favorite moment of the episode. So,
oh, it was awesome, dude. But you just have to go watch the fight. Like, we could talk about this for 40 minutes. Like, just go watch it. It's incredible. That's all I'm going to say. During this fight, Sentomaru shows up with three Seraphims, and he's trying to figure out what's going on because pirates are bad and the government is good. He's a Marine. And he gets a call from Vegapunk, who tells him that I'm CP0's target. You need to fight them. And during this, Sentomaru is like, I don't know, man. And he basically just pulls out the ultimate card of like, bro, I saved your ass from poverty. Fuck these guys up for me. Before sicking Seraphim on them. And it was interesting because Kaku was like, S-Bear, protect us. And Sentomaru just overrides that shit. And with that, we get to learn a little bit about the Seraphim. And there is an order of authority for who they listen to. So first is the Five Elders, the Gorosei. Second is Vegapunk and all his... No, they're not clones, but all his, like, alter body ego thingies. Third is Sentomaru. And then four is everyone who has an authority chip and is able to command the Seraphim. So Sentomaru is at a higher rank than CP0. And S-Bear turns on them and just starts blasting him with fucking laser beams.
Yeah, that's pretty good to know, like, the order of operations or whatever. And it's also good to mention that people can't give them orders over the snails, so the responder snails either. So they actually have to be there in person, and that is an important like detail, I guess you can say.
Yeah, definitely. And after this, we see Luffy use a new attack, which I loved, and it is the Gum Gum Mole Pistol, and he launches his fist into the ground, and all of a sudden we see it come up under Lucci and just blow him in the stomach, absolutely just destroying him. And then Luffy, being his goofy ass Nika self, just starts calling Sentomaru Axe. Hey, Axe. Hey, Axe. How you doing, Axe? All this stuff. And then we get like kind of like a pretty dark scene while Luffy and Sentomaru are talking. Lucci just comes and absolutely potentially kills Sentomaru. I mean, he hits him with the hand pistol straight through his gut. And that allows CP0 to take control of the Seraphim again because the commanding officer, as Lucci says, is defeated.
Yeah, and also, like, I think it's important to note as well that Sentomaru asked Luffy if he was really gonna help Vegapunk out and get him off the island or whatever, and Luffy's just like, well, he asked, and I said, I'm sure, you know, not whatever,
man. Let's do it, you know.
I really love that. It seems like it doesn't matter who you are. Luffy is willing to help anyone that's in need. So,
but that scene sets us up for some really epic action next week, I'm pretty sure. I mean, if CP0 gets control of the Seraphims again, are we going to get Lucci and the Seraphims against Sun God Nika Luffy? Because, oh, they better keep the animation up.
Yeah. And so, you know, like he said, you know, the CB0 has control right now, but unless Vegapunk comes down, but he has to come down and like join the battle. So I'm wondering, like, can his satellites?
That's the word I'm looking for. Yes, the satellites can control the Seraphim.
Yeah. Okay. The satellites controlling the Seraphim is like Vegapunk himself controlling it, is what I was trying to ask.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have to come down there himself. He can just send like Shocker or somebody down there. So
yeah, but
somebody's got to come down there, or it's fixing to get real on the battlefield.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of hope it does get real. I'd love to see that.
Yeah. Even though Lucci is looking hard right now, they made him look like a badass and all this stuff. I don't think he's nowhere close to being a match for, Gear 5, so.
No. I don't think CP0 is on Yonko level.
Yeah.
But that was the end of the episode, and unfortunately, we're getting a recap episode next week, so we're not going to talk One Piece. We're learning about the history of the CP0 members. So it's going to be a flashback to Water 7, so I'm probably going to watch it, because they're going to probably, like, condense all the fights into one thing, so I'm fucking here for that.
I really hope they actually do that. And I was fixing to ask the same thing. I was like, are we getting a recap episode next week? Because I was pretty sure that it sounded like a recap episode. But
yeah, we are. But maybe, yeah. Like, I don't know. Maybe it gives us a chance to remember. I mean, I'm okay if they show, like, Lucci versus Luffy, like, the OG fight. That'd be fucking awesome.
Plus, they probably got to, like, cook a little bit, because I think, the next episode, like, the fighting probably goes pretty hard if I'm guessing correctly. So
yeah, I'm excited. But awesome, is that all we got for One Piece?
I think so. It's and we still got freaking what's his name, what kid who's fighting right now? Blackbeard kid?
Law's fighting Blackbeard. I don't think we saw the end of that yet.
Yeah, we haven't seen the end of that yet, so we still got that.
But true.
Maybe that's the next thing we see. Maybe they, shoot over there real quick. So.
Oh, don't do that to me.
That's the way they do, bro.
But awesome. We hope you guys enjoyed this week's weekly rundown. We're going to be back on Thursday talking all things anime music. We're going to be picking some of our favorite shows, and it can be battle music, EPs, our EDs, OPs, everything. And we're going to talk about some of our favorite shows with some of the best music they have. Like Tyler said, make sure to rate the podcast on your favorite platform. If you have any questions, jump in the Discord. Let us know. Linktree.com/animedegens. You can find it in our bio. And we'll catch you guys on Thursday. Peace.
Later.